Hallelujah. You are holy, Lord. We are grateful for you. Give us eyes to see, mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, church. I greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus today. The Bible says that neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. I am thankful for the saving name of Jesus this morning. I'm thankful for a pastor that preaches truth and a congregation where we could gather and worship his name in spirit and in truth today. If we can continue standing, I'd like to read a scripture before we get started. It'll be found in Psalms chapter 51, verse 10. I'd like to read it in concert together. It'll be placed on the screen here momentarily. Hallelujah. I feel good today. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. If we could pray for the service. Dear Lord, I ask that you would anoint your servant today, mighty God, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, thus with saith the Lord. I ask that you would touch the Sunday school teachers today, that we would feel your presence in this house. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray. I have one more verse to read, and then we'll be seated. It'll be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. When everybody's there, say amen. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We would like to welcome all of our guests this morning. We are so glad to have you with us today and hope you enjoy both services. In the lesson today, we will establish biblical framework around five questions. How does God deal with sin in the world? How does God deal with sin in the church? What is judgment for the world? What is judgment for the church? And what are eternal works? I'd like to read the key text again, found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody say, judgment seat of Christ. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. My sermon title today is The Bema. In the opening text, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He's writing to a Holy Ghost-filled, baptized in Jesus' name church. He is stating to them, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive the things done in our body according to what we have done, whether it be good or bad. The judgment seat in the text is translated as bema in the Greek. And the definition of bema is a raised place mounted by steps, a platform, a tribune of the official seat of a judge. It's of the judgment seat of Christ. Herod built a structure resembling a throne at Caesarea from which he viewed the games and made speeches to the people. In Paul's time, bema was a familiar term. In the large Olympic arenas, there was an elevated seat on which the judge of the contest sat. After the contest was over, the competitors would assemble themselves before the bema to receive their rewards or crowns. The bema was not a judicial seat where someone was condemned. It was a reward seat. Likewise, the judgment seat of Christ is not a judicial bench, but the place to reward the winners of the race, those who have endured to the end. The bema judgment fact, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Anytime we study the Bible, it is a tremendous help to know the writer. In this case, it's the Apostle Paul and the audience or group he is speaking to. He is speaking to the church. Also, the time period or the dispensation. This is the dispensation of grace or the church age. So when Paul addresses all, he's speaking to the church. We must keep the word in its proper context. All of the church will stand before the bema, the judgment seat of Christ. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul is once again speaking to the church here, and he is speaking of a different judgment seat than the great white throne judgment. The church will not stand before the great white throne judgment because our sins, by the grace of God, have gone on before us. Amen. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. At the great white throne judgment, the book of life will be opened. And if you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus and infilled with the Holy Ghost, your name will not be in the Lamb's book of life. If your name is not found in the Lamb's book of life, a book or the book of works will be opened up, and you will be judged at the white throne judgment. If you find yourself standing before the white throne judgment, it will not be a good day. Amen. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. In this verse 14, it is in stark contrast to John chapter 3, where Nicodemus and Jesus have a conversation about the new birth. How can we enter into the womb for a second time? And Jesus lets him know that unless we are born of the water and the spirit, that is the new birth experience, we cannot see the kingdom or enter the kingdom. Here we're referencing the second death. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bema is a place for the church only, those that have been baptized in Jesus' name and infilled with the Holy Ghost. We have taken on the name of Jesus and are part of the bride, and our names have been added to the Lamb's book of life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 through 15, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We can lose some of our reward and yet still be saved ourselves. We must know what works will burn and what works will last. Amen. Gold, silver, and precious stones are purified by fire. The more intense the fire, the more precious the metal becomes. And under heat and pressure, precious stones are formed. At the same time the metal is becoming purified, the contaminant or draws of the metal are being revealed and floating to the surface. In our lives, when the fire of the Holy Ghost is working within us, those character flaws and defects will surface in God's attempt to purify us. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire, and we will be tried by the fire of God. And what will not make it will be consumed by that fire. The purpose of the Bema judgment. First, what it is not. It is not to determine whether one enters heaven or not. This is already established before we leave this life. It is not to punish believers for sins committed, either before or after their salvation. No child of God will have to answer for the sins after this life. No child of God, rather, will have to answer for his sins after this life. God chastises his sons and daughters here on earth. Psalms chapter 103, verses 10 through 12. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Dropping down to 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. In my time of study, I felt like I had great revelation about east and west. I came out of my room, I spoke to Sister Casey, and I painted a picture of a globe with a road traveling all the way around the earth from north to south. And I began to explain to her, if we started at the equator, traveling north, eventually we would reach the North Pole and begin to head south. And then we would travel south until we reached the South Pole, and eventually we would head north. So in my mind, I began to paint a picture the same way, but now east to west, a road around the equator, completely around the globe. And if we began to travel east, there would never be a time where we would eventually travel west. The east is infinitely away from the west. And that's where he would like for our sins to be if we will repent, as far as the east is from the west. I got great revelation from that. Sister Casey said, yeah, I've heard that song. So I felt like, you know, I'd heard from the Lord, and maybe I heard the song, and that's where I got it from. But the east from the west, it's infinite, and that's where the Lord wants our sin. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. What a great place for our sins to be, behind the Lord's back. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. How many of us have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus today? If you have been redeemed by the Lord, he has placed your sins behind his back, as far as the east is from the west. He has blotted them out. What a wonderful thing that the Lord has done for us. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and that will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. This verse is oftentimes confused with a sea of forgetfulness. That is not the place where the Lord would put it. That is, there's no biblical ground to that. But in the depths of the sea is a great place for our sins. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And finally, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The sins of the repentant are sent on ahead to be judged. They will not follow us. God's people will not be judged with the world, and the church needs to know this. The purpose of the Bema judgment, what it is. It is a day when all of God's stewards will give an accounting of how they handled their God-given responsibilities from the moment of their conversion and will be rewarded accordingly. This includes Sunday school teachers, pastors, ministers, evangelists, singers, ushers, musicians, saints, etc., the church. In the past, before conversion, God dealt with us as sinners. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. If you will take a look around at what's going on in the world today, you will know that that spirit that is working in the children of today of disobedience is in the world. You could see it at work today. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. We are justified by baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of our sins and by the Spirit of our God. Notice the capital S in the middle of the sentence that ascribes deity to the Spirit. That is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In the present, God deals with us as sons. In the past, before conversion, he dealt with us as sinners. In the present, he will deal with us as sons. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 11. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Our fathers have chastened us for their own pleasure, but the Lord will chastise us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. If any of you have been chastised by the Lord, it's not a pleasant feeling, but it's needed. I want that to happen here on earth, where when I make it, wherever I make it, I don't want to be chastised. If you're being chastised, you're at the great white throne judgment, and like I said earlier, that's not a good place to find yourself. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. I'm trying to use so much scripture to set groundwork. The Bible says, wherever there be two or three witnesses in my name, I want the word of God to be a witness unto itself. And I want to lay a strong foundation of how God deals with sinners and how God deals with the church. It is a good place for us to be adopted and be sons and daughters of God. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. God will deal with us at the Bema as stewards, and as we rule with him as kings and priests. The material to be tested at the Bema judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 through 15. For other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Many of the denominational world believe that there are many paths to God. I passed 15 churches on the way here this morning, and they believe that there are many paths to God. We know today that there is only one path to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built, thereupon he shall receive reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall not suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Notice, it is the believer's works and not the believer himself that will be subjected to the fires. And works are classified into six areas: gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. These six areas can be classified into two categories. Excuse me. Objects that will survive the fire, that'll be gold, silver, and precious stones. And objects that the fire will consume, wood, hay, and stubble. The following are works that will survive the fire and will be rewarded. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Without grudging. Many times we use hospitality, and that person that might have been on the receiving end, once they're not in our presence, maybe we had a slight grudge. That will not produce eternal reward in our life. And God is not unrighteous to forget our work and our labor of love, which we have showed towards his name. How many of us today love the name of the Lord? A love of his name and a love of his saints will produce eternal rewards. It will produce gold in our life. It will produce silver in our life. It will produce precious stones. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. I've lathered you up. Here comes the shave. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Gold, by obeying them that have rule over you, and not only obeying, but with a right spirit. Many times I'll tell my kids, I'll tell Alana, she's not in here, I'll tell Alana to clean her room, and she might do it with a bad spirit. We need to be obedient to them that have the rule over us with the right attitude and be happy about being obedient. That will produce eternal rewards in our life. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute. Everyone say, ready to distribute. Willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Using one's riches for the building of a good foundation in Christ will produce eternal rewards within our life. Not speaking of the tithe, beyond the tithe, if we will be sensitive, if you have money and you will be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, the Lord will direct you on how to invest into the kingdom of God. And if you will invest in the kingdom of God using your finances, it will produce eternal rewards. Using one's riches for the building of a good foundation in Christ. There are many causes. Be sensitive to the causes for the kingdom. And instead, if you have your hand closed around your finances, the Lord can't put more finances into your hand. We've got to be a conduit with an open hand with our finances. Let your finances flow through the kingdom. Let your finances be an investment to the kingdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm not the pastor, so I could talk about money a lot. So I don't have anything to gain by talking about what to do with your money other than to enlighten you that it will produce eternal rewards in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. By being a cheerful giver, that is gold, that is silver, that is precious stones. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 through 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. By being persecuted falsely for Christ's sakes, that will lay up an eternal reward. When we are persecuted for his name's sake, falsely, that is an eternal reward. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. By redeeming the time. I'm not saying to spend 100% of your time doing kingdom work. I'm saying to give the Lord the best of your time. If you will give him the first 10% of your money, we should be able to give him the first 10% or the best 10% of our time. Redeem your time. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. By running the race well, you will receive eternal reward. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. By being a soul winner for the kingdom of God. If we will be soul winners, we will lay up in store eternal reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That's what the fast has been about. We have brought our flesh into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway by keeping our bodies under subjection. Many times that can get away from us. We deal with flesh every day by keeping our bodies into subjection. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. By enduring temptation, by praying, by fasting, by giving in secret, and many, many more. I've just listed a couple of the high points that will produce eternal rewards in our life. The results of the Bema judgment. Some will receive rewards to a lesser or greater degree, depending on what type of steward you were for the kingdom. The Bible says that elders that have labored in the doctrine are worthy of a double portion, and I'm okay with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. I'll be reading this verse again. If any man's work abide which he hath built, thereupon he shall receive a reward. Crown shall be passed out. The definition of a crown, a mark of royal or exalted rank. The wreath or garland which was given as a prize to victors in the public games. Metaphorically speaking, it is the eternal blessedness which will be given as a prize to the genuine servants of God and Christ. The crown which is the reward of righteousness. The incorruptible crown found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. The crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? The crown of life, found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The crown of righteousness, found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. How many love the appearing of the Lord today? That is a crown of righteousness that will be given. The crown of glory, found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The holy crown, or the golden crown. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 9. And he put the mitre upon his head, also upon the mitre, even upon the forefront did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Exodus chapter 39 and verse 30. And they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and wrote upon it in a writing like to the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. What a crown that we could be rewarded with. A crown that says holiness unto the Lord. The seventh crown. Those were six crowns. The seventh crown. Seven is the number of perfection in completion. Jesus Christ wore a crown of thorns so that the saints might wear the six crowns above. A crown of thorns was placed upon his head that dug into his flesh, and as he bled on the cross, he did so that we might receive crowns of rejoicing, holy crowns, crowns of righteousness, crowns of glory. John chapter 19, Verse 5. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. In closing, if we could stand. From the moment we are converted until we either die an earthly death or the Lord comes back, whichever comes first, what we do or don't do for the kingdom of God will determine what works will last eternally or be consumed by fire. Through today's study, we have learned that the sins of the saints go on before us and do not follow us to heaven if we will repent of them to the Lord. While making it to heaven is reward enough, there will be some of us rewarded to a greater or lesser degree, depending on what and how we invested into the kingdom of God. For me, what I envision in my mind is a multitude of people too great to number, like John the Revelator saw under the veil of the Holy Ghost, with people from all nations and tongues, much like today, reigning as kings and priest with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, wearing crowns of rejoicing, incorruptible crowns, crowns of life, crowns of righteousness, crowns of glory, holy crowns, rewarded at the Bema. In closing, in these last two verses, I'd like to read from Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. If we could clap our hands unto the Lord. Church, there will be a day when we will cast our crowns upon the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. For we must decrease so that Jesus can increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, dear Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah.